19 to 24, and it's Timothy and Epaphroditus. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the works of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon.
Morning. Thanks so much, Jordan, Annalise, and family, for that beautiful introduction to a Sunday morning worship time together. And it reminds us so much of how life is so short, and soon we will fly away. Farther on, things are going to be better. Pardon me? Dismiss the children, please, to junior worship, okay? All right. We're forgetting about the little ones today. That's no good. All right. It reminds us so much of, you know, when I think of what Paul said in Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's kind of a centerpiece of my life. And when I think about those words and what we've sang just now, how there is gain coming in the future, that's a beautiful thought for us. We want to just remind ourselves for a little bit about the book of Philippians and what happened to make the book of Philippians real and why it's important for us today. When Paul went on his second missionary journey, he was called over. Somebody called him, the angels, come over to Macedonia and help us, he said. And he went to Philippi. And when he came, he and Silas came to Philippi, a little city on the Mediterranean. He was met in that town by some people who were worshiping at the river. And he and Silas joined that group of worshipers. But every day there was a woman who came after them and said, she was a fortune teller. She was owned by a slave trader who sold her services to people, and he became wealthy because of it. Every day she came after Paul and said, listen, these men are messengers of God. They've come to show you the way to be saved. And Paul got irritated by that. And one day he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you, evil spirit, to get out of her. And that's exactly what happened. And the fortune teller couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And her boss couldn't make any money with her anymore. And people got upset in the community. And they went to the town council and they said, hey, let's get this guy out of town. And so they stripped them. They beat Paul and Silas. They put them in jail in stocks. That's where you stay, you guys. Shut up. We've had enough of you. And when Myrna and I traveled with our children when they were just little kids, along the path of St. Paul, we came to Philippi, and there was nothing but ruins. A couple of big columns standing up, you know, and a bunch of rubble, you know, old bricks falling down. The marketplace was nothing there anymore. But there was a little hole in the ground at one place, and it was a stone wall in that little hole. We walked, looked in there, and there on the wall was a little plaque, about maybe 6 by 8, something like that. And on it, it said, the prison of St. Paul. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'll never forget that because it was so meaningful to us at the time. To say, here's where Paul was actually in prison. Here's where Paul and Silas were stripped and beaten and put in stocks in that prison. And there was an earthquake. And the chains were loosed. The angel came but took the chains off, says, you're free. And the jailer wanted to kill himself because all the prisoners were going free. And Paul says, don't hurt yourself. And the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And that started, was the beginning of the Philippian church, the church that Paul loved. Now we're in a different story. And when I think of those words, just a few years before we were in Philippi, something very, very huge happened in our world. There's a guy named Neil Armstrong who put his first step on the moon. He walked on the moon. And I remember what he said at the time. That's a small step for a man, a great leap for mankind. And it was. It was a big day. But often I've thought how much more significant were the words of St. Paul. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the influence that Paul had on our whole world as he walked around and spread the gospel in that whole Mediterranean world is so huge. And yet when we came to the birthplace of Paul in Tarsus, we asked around, is there nothing about Paul in this town, we said. And one person said to us, well, there's a well over there named the Well of St. Paul. So we went over to this part of town in Tarsus, and there was this little stone wall, a little well, with a little crank on top and a rope and a pail you could drop down in the water and pick up water out of the well. The Well of St. Paul, the only reminder that one of the greatest men in our Christian world had of his birthplace in Tarsus. So it is a beautiful experience to go through Thessalonica and Greece and Athens and Corinth and see all the places where this man ministered in such a powerful way. And when he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he really meant that. Because his hope was in nothing less than in Jesus Christ. And he says, as we read the scripture, I hope in the Lord Jesus, he says. My hope is in the Lord Jesus. It is in nothing else. Now we better get to our little talk here. I just wanted to add that a little bit of stuff to what I'm thinking about today. Are we not coming through right? We're okay? All right. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. And remember, Paul was a pretty influential man. He was a powerful leader. Apparently, he wasn't a very good speaker, we're told. But he was nevertheless a powerful man, a strong man in the Christian world at the time. But he felt inadequate in himself, and he said, my hope is in the Lord Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less. And I often wonder, how does our life really reflect our hope? Are we putting our hope in things other than the Lord Jesus? How much hope do we have in our bank accounts, in our retirement plans, in our family, our parents? We trust in so many other things, good government, peace in our land. And so often, there's more hope in that than there is in anything else. I can never forget the picture that we had many years ago, not many years ago, of 12 men dressed in orange robes, kneeling on the ground. Is that a picture you remember? And behind each of them stood an executioner. These were 12 Christian men. You remember that picture on TV? I'll never forget it. They were kneeling on the ground, and behind them stood somebody ready to kill them. And I wondered, what kind of hope did they have? They had an eternal hope in their hearts, these men. They were Christians. But behind them stood 12 men who had not a hope in the world. What a sad story. But here were 12 Christian men who had hope. Hope because they hoped in the Lord Jesus. Paul was in prison. He'd been persecuted and beaten. Now he was sitting in the prison in Rome, and he says, my hope is in the Lord Jesus. He had trust in the Lord, not in himself, but in the Lord Jesus. And then he said, I hope to send Timothy to you. Even while Paul was in prison, he was making plans for the gospel, for the work of the gospel. I'm going to send Timothy to you. You need him. He's going to help you. He will serve you. He will minister to you. He was organizing to others. He had an agenda for a service. The palace guard, he was witnessing to them, and many of them became sympathetic to him in Rome as he was in prison. There was a reason for him to be there, and he used that as an opportunity for ministry. Paul serving the Lord did not stop because he was in prison. He didn't sit there and bellyache about what was going on, why the world was so bad. No, he used this as an opportunity to minister. He was concerned about the health of the church in Philippi, and for this reason, he wanted to send Timothy to them to help them. And we ask ourselves, why Timothy? What was so good about Timothy that made Paul want to send him to the Philippines? Paul says in verse 20, I have no one else like him. Timothy was a very special person. There was something unusual about him. And so that Paul says he's one of a kind. He has proved himself. He has proved himself to me and to the church. He's a solid man. Verse 23, he has served with me. I have worked with him, Paul says. He's like a son to me, like a father and son. We have worked together. Timothy is not afraid to work. He's willing to risk his life for me. Timothy, he says, there's a fifth reason. Timothy was interested in the welfare of others. I'll just read those verses once more. I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I therefore hope to send him to you. Paul had nothing but good to say about this Timothy man. But the one thing that really interests me is that he was interested in the welfare of others. For everyone else looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I wonder what Paul would say about us today. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's not that we don't care about others. Maybe we're just too busy looking after our own interests, that we don't have time for the interests of others. We're so occupied with ourselves, our world, our families, our jobs, raising kids. We're so busy with ourselves, we don't have time for the interests of others. Somehow that can probably wait. And how much time for the interests of Jesus? Paul talks about that as well. What are the interests of Jesus? If Jesus stood here today beside me, and said, I am interested in Meadow Lake, what would his interest be? How is Jesus interested in Meadow Lake, in our church? What would he say? My interest is, who's got it? Come on, it must be something. He must be interested in something in Meadow Lake. The people, somebody said lost souls. What else? The hurting. What else? What is Jesus interested in Meadow Lake? It says in the Bible he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The lost sheep. That's his interest. What else? This is not really a Sunday school class or anything like that, but it's interesting for us to put ourselves in the feet of standing beside Jesus and saying, Jesus, what do you really care about? What are your interests? Timothy was interested in the interests of Jesus. He wanted to be a representative for Jesus in the world. That's what he was all about. And one of the interests of Jesus, we know, is to find the lost, to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring abundant life to dying people, to bring hope to this world, hope for life and hope for eternity. That was the interest of Jesus. That's why he came to this world, to restore us to fellowship with God. That's why he came. And in Meadow Lake, Jesus' interest is that our church should be that witness in our town, that we should represent to this community the interests of Jesus. Not just our own good feeling, but what does Jesus really want in Meadow Lake? He wants to find the lost. He wants to restore them to life, to fellowship. I wonder how we reflect those interests in our community. Are we doing it now? In many ways, we probably are. We live in a world that ridicules Christ, that ridicules religion, that makes fun of anything supernatural, where science is the thing. In fact, probably some of you have been listening this week to some of our Governor General's statement about science and truth. And we're asking ourselves some hard questions. What's really going on? is there any spiritual stuff left? Is there anything Christian in our world anymore? And yet we have to be really careful, I think, that we don't sit back and just criticize these people. Paul didn't complain about the world. He didn't complain about politics. We never heard about that, about bad politicians and about people that wanted to kill Christians. Paul didn't complain about that. He was out there to teach people that to live is Christ and to die is gain. He was out there with a positive influence in the world, spreading the gospel, not spreading more anger and bitterness and frustration and confusion, but rather teaching the right from the wrong. That's our job as Christians in Meadow Lake. We need to strive to be a positive influence in this community. In the work of the gospel today, there is so much work for us to do. And somehow, it seems that many Christians are putting themselves on the DL. Baseball players call it disabled list. So many Christians in Meadow Lake are on the designated disabled list. Yes, we can't work. We're hurt. We're broken. We can't really minister. God needs us to sign up for the work. The work of the gospel in Meadow Lake is our work. It is our job. It's nobody else's job. To promote the interests of Jesus in Meadow Lake, why shouldn't we all want to jump on the bandwagon and say, yes, I'm for it. I want to work. I'll sign up here. I'll be one of the ministers. I'll be one of the workers in Meadow Lake to bring the gospel, to bring the interests of Jesus to Meadow Lake. You and I can do that. We don't have to wait for anybody else to do it. It's our job. It's our ministry. We need the vision to say, God, what do you want me to do in Meadow Lake? What do you want me to do in this church? How can we be a real light in this community for what God wants us to do, to show the interests of Jesus to Meadow Lake? There's so many things happening in our church that are doing this already, and we just need to keep on doing it. We think of Monday Night Live. We think of our youth program. We think of so many of the other things that are happening in the church. And we have to praise God that he has enabled us to be a light to show people what his interest in Meadow Lake really is. Paul had two very strong friends in that Philippian church. One was this Timothy man. The other was Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was we don't know for sure, but he was considered to be one of the influential people in this town who became a Christian. And as a Christian, he was interested in Paul, and when the Philippian church found out that Paul was in prison in Rome, they said, let's send Epaphroditus to help him, to be a servant to him in Rome when he's in prison. So this man was a messenger of the church sent to Meadow Lake. Not to Meadow Lake, sent to Rome. Maybe he should come here too. Anyhow, he went to Rome to meet with Paul, and Paul calls him a brother. He calls him a fellow worker. And he calls him a fellow soldier, a worker and a fighter, working with Paul in the work of the gospel in that community in Philippi. These two men demonstrated that they were more interested in the interests of others and in the interests of Jesus. That's what their lives were like. I wonder if Paul was writing a letter to our church, would he find some of us in this church more interested in others, more interested in the interests of Jesus? Or would he say those guys are really kind of all interested in themselves? We have to each look at ourselves and ask ourselves. I ask myself, how much time do I waste on myself? How much time do I spend looking after the interests of Jesus? Each of us can ask ourselves that question. And it's a hard question because it's so easy to look after ourselves before we think of others. I wanted to title this message. I didn't know what it would be called. I had no idea. But when I thought of Timothy and Epaphroditus, these were two guys who really gave it everything they had. They were willing to risk it. And in fact, Epaphroditus got ill when he got to Rome. He was so ill that he almost died. But you know, he didn't want the church back in Philippi to know that he was sick. Why not? Because they would be distressed, the Bible says. They would be distressed. Epaphroditus didn't want them to know that he was sick. He didn't want them to sorrow and worry about him. Here was a man who was so interested in other people that he really literally forgot about himself, about his illness and his sickness when he almost died. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have a plan for us, you have a purpose for us, a reason for us to be here. I thank you that you have given us the work of the gospel, that you have shown us men like Timothy and Epaphroditus, who stood up for you, who were willing to work, to serve, to minister in the gospel. Teach us, Lord, to have those same kind of interests in our hearts, in our minds, that what we do this week might reflect your interest in Meadow Lake, that it might show to this community that we are Christians who love you, who want to be involved in your work, in serving you in everything we do. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jake, for that message. We will be having someone to pray up front. If you would like prayer for yourself or someone you know about, June will be up here and he will be available for prayer. Next week we'll be continuing on in our series in through the book of Philippians, and Ken Ness will be bringing the message. Please stand as we close with the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace.